Hi, I want to welcome you to Diving into Deep Waters with Erin Rowling. And quite honestly, I'm tired of saying the old saying at this point, so we're just going to get into it today. I appreciate you joining me, and I hope you're ready to get real, because that's what life is. It's real. There's stuff. And I don't know about you, but I want to dive into the stuff, because getting into the stuff helps me to walk better in Christ and to be a better woman, a better person. Because some of you guys are like, I'm not a woman. So welcome today. I know my son-in-law-to-be soon, son-in-law is probably like, that's a different beginning. I was just tired of saying it. So anyways, oh, I'm just going to take a breath here for a second, because honestly, I didn't even think this podcast was going to happen this week, because I recorded my podcast like a week in advance. So by the time you listen to this, my daughter's graduation party already will have happened, but me recording it, it's before the graduation party. And if you've ever done a graduation party, you know what goes into these bad boys. And if that wasn't enough, just doing the grad party, we had to switch our venues. And so it's at our house. Yes, it's at our house. That adds a whole nother layer of stress. And then we have family coming, which I'm super excited that my family's coming and stuff like that. But you know how it is. It's just some stress. I talked a little bit about that in the last podcast. But anyway, so I was just have been feeling a bit overwhelmed. And I just keep thinking, I need to skip this week. I'm trying to take as much off my plate. And I was like, I need to take this off. And let me just tell you something. Prayer changes things. Like, I have a plaque that says that in my house, and I just need to look at it more often. Maybe I need to move it and put it in a better place in my house, because it's true. It changes things. My husband and I, Mondays are like our coffee date morning. We go over our schedules and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes we're good and we pray together. And so we did. And I just began to pray over this week. And I just asked the Lord, I was like, Lord, my husband has a message to get ready. I have worship to get ready. I have my podcast on top of that, the graduation. And I was just like, with the message and with the podcast and worship, I'm just going to ask that you just bring things to our mind, that the preparation of it flows so easily and well, and just begin to pray over that, over both of us. And because sometimes when you're getting ready for a message, if you've ever preached or, you know, spoken anywhere, sometimes it's like pulling teeth. Like, you feel like you're just like, don't know where to go. And it's sometimes harder to get through getting ready than, you know, other times. And so I just prayed for ease in that area for both of us. And, you know, again, be careful what you pray for. Because this morning it was 4:30 in the morning, and I woke up and I knew as soon as I opened my eyes, I'm not going to be able to go back to sleep. The Lord's going to talk to me. And I did like push it off till 5:30. I know I'm bad, people, but you know, I was just like, I just want to lay here. And he just kept talking to me. I was like, get your phone, start writing stuff down. And then it was like, okay, go out of the room, get your notebook out, get going. And he was so good to me, just to like flow what I'm going to talk about today. And so God has a sense of humor, and he answers prayers. So I'm going to get into the topic today of comparison. I actually wrote it at the top of my notebook, and because, you know, I'm such a great speller, I thought I should probably look up how I spelled comparison, because I just feel like it should have two R's in it. Well, people, it doesn't. Probably some of you are like, oh my gosh, she's such a bad speller. Because yeah, I looked it up and obviously there is not. So I did write it correctly at the top of my page. And I will just say this is good thing that God did not make me the person a part of spelling words in the English language years ago, because that would have been the wrong choice. But so I have a question for you. Have you ever been scrolling through Facebook or Instagram and found yourself comparing yourself to others? Like to the lady who has a six pack and she doesn't have saggy boobs. Because they're right where they're supposed to be. And of course, if I see that, I think she didn't nurse her kids, or she doesn't have kids, or no stretch marks, or, you know, like no veins popping out of her legs or any of that, or wrinkles, or, you know, any of that stuff. Or have you compared your house to that perfectly decorated house, like the Joanna Gaines style house with the shiplap walls? And my house, it looks like is from the 70s, I believe. And it looks like it's from the 70s. And I just keep thinking maybe that I'll come back in style. So I'll be totally in. By the time I can redo my house, it'll be like Joanna Gaines will be like a thing of the past. I don't know. Or maybe the alive plants that might be in someone's house, you know, like they're succulents are in. And yeah, like I can't even keep them alive. But or to the person who posts their dinners and they have like little garnishes on the sides. I will say when I cook a dinner and it looks good on the plate, I totally post a picture because I'm just so proud of myself that it looks amazing. And I want people to drool over the fact of what I made. So I'm contributing to the comparison, or to the picture of the family that everyone is looking and smiling, or if they're not looking, you know, it's like this ha ha ha, you know, like laughing thing, where they just like their faces are perfectly positioned to have this like Kodiak moment. Or, you know, does any of this like ring a bell, like that you're scrolling through any of these things and you're comparing your body or your house or your food or your family to theirs? And if you said yes to any of the above questions, guess what? You came to the right podcast. Congratulations. You picked the right one to listen to today. Because of all these perfect moments, you know, it's like real is in right now, right? Like everyone is like hashtag real life or whatever. It's like the woman who takes a picture of her standing in a certain way and it's like, you know, looks all good. And then she takes another picture and it's like with her rolls of, you know, skin or whatever. And she posts on their angles are everything, or the picture of the house strewn with toys and dirty dishes and overflowing baskets, and it's like hashtag real life, or you know, the picture of the McDonald's Happy Meals and the caption says don't judge, or the pictures of the perfect picture of the, you know, the before pictures of the perfect picture, you know, where the kids are crying and, you know, like snot's running down their face, and then it's like hashtag behind the scenes. Let's be honest, like when we see those kinds of pictures, you know, the real life pictures, we're happy because it makes us feel okay about ourselves. And if we're being really honest, okay, which we are going to get honest in these podcasts, we feel like, hey, I've got it together better than that person. Okay, I know you've done that before. I know you've looked at something and you're like, okay, she's falling apart. But I'm doing all right, right? Because it's comparison. Seeing someone else's struggles or imperfections or flaws, it makes us feel like we're on the same playing field. Like it's been evened out when we see it like the real life of someone's life and they're willing to expose that real life of themselves. It kind of makes us feel like, all right, I'm in the game because this I can work with. And I wanted to share with you the definition of comparison. It's is the act of evaluating two or more things by determining the relevance, comparable characteristics of each thing, and then determines which characteristics of each is similar to the other, which is different. Now, that's the definition of comparison. Now, this is, to me, the definition of comparing oneself. Who is better? Did you hear that? The definition of comparing oneself is who is better? Now, if you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's saying this. No, come on. Let's just like get real, because nobody got time for unreal things. I don't know about you, but I don't have time. And so, yeah, maybe I may say some things in here that you're like, I can't believe she just said that. No, listen, that is comparing oneself. We look at other people and we think, who's better? We compare ourselves to each other, like constantly. Theodore Roosevelt said, comparison is the thief of joy. Well, I would like to add to that and many other things. Comparison is the thief of joy and many other things. When I think of comparison, one of the things I think it really steals from us is our ability to compliment and encourage others. Like, think about it. It's easy to compliment someone who isn't good at the same thing you are. But as soon as someone is good at what we are good at, we struggle with our ability to compliment and encourage them, right? I mean, are you tracking with me? Have you ever like done that? Like, someone's good at something you're good at, and then you think, oh, I don't even think we really think about it. It's just like an internal thing. Like, we think, oh no, that maybe I'm not as good if I compliment somebody. Now, you may never say that, but I believe it's really true. And I will give you an example of myself. I'll bare my soul. I'll put my soul out, self out there, of an example of this. So our family is a tennis family, like new and upcoming tennis family, I guess I should say. It started like my husband and Joseph started playing. And then, of course, Abby started playing. And then I was like, hey, I don't want to be left out. And I like tennis. So I started going. And then Liz joined us. And then Amanda and Frank joined us when they're home. And we love it. Like, we really love it. It's been a great activity that we can all do as a family where everybody loves it. Everyone is, you know, having fun with it. And so I'll watch out, Wimbledon, the rollings are coming. Not, but anyways. So at this present time, I'm one of the better players. Probably not for long, but I've probably just had the most experience out of anyone in our family playing tennis. But recently, we were playing as a family, and a family friend of ours came and joined us. And right off the bat, we were playing doubles, and Bryce, this young man, was good. Like, especially at playing the net. He just was, like, super quick. Like, the ball would come, and, like, he was just, like, getting them and, like, zinging them. Like, the way he was holding his racket was just, like, zinging back at us. And it was not something any of us had done, this little, you know, playing the net like that. None of us were good like that. And so as I was watching this unfold in front of me, my first thought was like, wow, he's just zinging those little things across the net. But as sad as it is, okay, here's real. I totally held back a compliment to him because I felt comparison rising up in my heart and my mind. Like, that's what was happening. And meanwhile, here Bryce is, like, complimenting away at anything we did good. Like, when I would serve, he'd be like, Miss Erin, do you can tell you know, did you play tennis? You know, and Mr. Rowling, that was like such a good serve. And I mean, just complimenting us away. And here I had this one little compliment, but something he definitely was doing better than the rest of us. And I didn't say it. But as I was watching him just give compliments to all of us, I was so convicted in my heart about it. And so after feeling completely convicted about it, I released the compliment and I realized that I could totally learn something from him. And he had something to offer me and all of us. And my comparison was stripping me of the ability to learn something new and appreciate him. See, giving someone a compliment at something that you're doing, or because like I said, it's not usually hard for us to give a compliment when it's something totally opposite of what we're good at. But as soon as it rivals what we do or who we are or what we feel like we're good at, it does not strip us of anything of ourselves to compliment somebody else. And actually, by us not releasing that compliment, we're stripping ourselves of something. We somehow think that if we recognize someone else's abilities, that strips us of our own abilities. Like, how messed up is that? Comparison is stealing from us in that moment. And quite honestly, it's stealing encouragement for the other person. You never know. Like, you think it's just about you and your comparison and like it's your problem. But what are you not giving to someone else that maybe they need? Now, in that moment, I'm sure Bryce probably didn't need to know. Like, that wasn't like a life-changing moment, me telling him he was doing great at tennis. But there's other instances where it really could be what someone needs. And yet, you're just holding it back because you're afraid of stripping yourself or, you know, not feeling as good about yourself if you release a compliment to somebody else. So that's one way that I feel like comparison steals something from us. On Mother's Day, a couple of years ago, I preached a message called Stay in Your Own Lane. Stay in your lane. And it was birthed out of track season. And on a side note, track season will teach you a lot. If you ever did track, if you ran track, or one of your kids runs track, or you have multiple kids that run track, yay you. I mean, you get what I mean. Like, you will endure hours of pelting rain, wind, tornado. We've dealt with a tornado one time at States. You're bundled up like an Eskimo. You can't even recognize people. Maybe you recognize them because they wear the same hat to every track meet like I do, but sometimes you can't even recognize people because they're so bundled up. And maybe the weather will clear up for like the last track meet of the season, or it'll be blazing hot and you're like sunburned and, you know, the kids can barely breathe because it's so hot out. But besides the weather of track, it will teach you some spiritual lessons as well. And when the kids run track, each runner has their own lane. And if you cross into another runner's lane, you'll get disqualified. And you have specific races you run. You don't just run any race. You don't just show up and be like, oh, I think I'll try this. I mean, sometimes in the beginning of the season, they'll try different races to see what they're good at. But most of the time, like my daughter ran the 400. She trained specifically for the 400. And if you know, she had other races too, but that was like her race. She dominated in the 400. She was a great runner in the 400. And you train for it. You run the races that are specific to your skill set, what you're able to do. You don't just run something that you're not good at. It's specific. So taking that, those few facts, and translating them into comparison, we each have our own lane. And if we cross into someone else's lane, trying to be like that person, when we do that, it's like we're abandoning who we are supposed to be. When we start, look at the lane next to us, and we maybe sometimes I think we think the grass is greener on the other side, someone else's life, or they've been dealt a better hand or anything like that. And we think, oh, let's try that lane out, when that's not our lane. And then when we try to run races that aren't specific to us, it leaves us feeling less than and frustrated because we're trying to run some maybe race that was designed for someone else. And yet, because we're comparing ourselves, we're like, well, wait a second. Like, I want to run that race. I mean, have you ever heard anybody say, I wish I was good at that? Well, it's not for you. It's not for you. That's just the bottom line. But there is something that will really affect a runner when they run, and it affects them every time. I don't know if I've ever really seen a time that this hasn't affected a runner when they're running, and it's comparison while running. Now, what I mean by that is, so when a runner is running and, you know, they're running so fast, and one of them looks back to see where the other runners are, and they take their eyes off the finish line to compare where they are to someone else, the moment that happens, like everyone that's a bystander, that's, you know, we're lined up on the chain link fence, we're in the stands, as soon as we see a kid do that, we start yelling at them, like, hey, look up front, stop looking behind you, there's, you're fine, just keep going. Like, everybody, whether you know the kid or not, and you see that happen, you start yelling, because it's like, wait a second, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Because we know that the moment that runner does that, it slows them down, like instantly, it slows them down. And honestly, that in track, like it can be like so close, like milliseconds, it feels like, you know, of a time of a runner. And sometimes it costs them the race doing that. Like they might, or like a placement, you know, like for regionals, it's the top two runners. Like if you're not in the top two or you have a certain time, you can't go on to state. Like it's very, very intense. And that looking behind you to check someone else out to see where they're at, comparing where you're at in the race compared to someone else, could cost you everything, a position, a first place, or anything. And honestly, getting real again, I did that for years, comparing myself to how others were doing. And honestly, all it did was slow me down. And quite often, it would kind of like stop me in my tracks. It wasn't just like a slow me down. It was like full stop. Because it's so easy to look at someone else in their lane and compare their lane to your lane. And this is fact. The fact is, you are you. No one makes a better you than you. So what are we worried about? No one can be you. And guess what? You can't be someone else. I've got a big newsflash for you. You make an awful someone else. If you didn't hear that, I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot. Maybe I'm just like reminding myself. You make an awful, horrible, ridiculous someone else. No one makes a better you than you. So why are we always trying to be like someone else when in the end we will never be them, because God didn't plan for us to be someone else? Here's a fact. I am Erin Michelle Rowling. No one is me. God broke the mold. No one can be me. So allowing myself to be me allows me to walk fully in his plans for me and to run the race that he has set before me. In Jeremiah 29:11, I know you know this verse, but guess what? It's a life first. It's like everybody's life first. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So God has plans for you, right? We just read it. If you need to go find it, underline it. But I wonder what we miss because we compare the plans God has for us to the plans that God has for someone else. Have you ever done that? Do you do that? Are you doing that currently? By doing that, we never walk fully into what He has for us. And how sad that must make God, because He's watching us not be all that we were created to be, because we're so busy trying to be someone else. We're so busy comparing ourselves to someone else, and how that must sadden His heart as He watches us run this race of life. But we're doing it comparing ourselves constantly to others. To wrap this up, I'm going to paint a picture of what I think our Heavenly Father is doing while we're running our race. So a couple of years ago, I noticed this kid named Nathan. And at every track meet, he would be in the inner circle of the track. Now, usually runners can be there and coaches. That's no one else is really supposed to be out there. But he really caught my eye because as each runner from our school ran their race, and honestly, it wasn't just from our school, but mainly he was there for the kids from our school. He was a runner himself. But I see this kid on the inner track, like cheering for these kids like nobody else. Like literally he was like lose his voice sometimes because he was screaming at the top of his lungs. And especially, you know, like screaming even louder when he knew that kid was trying to accomplish a PR, which is a personal record. Or he was, I'm just saying that because my daughter ran cross country and they kept saying a PR and I had no idea what a PR was. Maybe I was just the dumb parent, but I didn't know what it was. Or like my daughter, she was trying to break the school record and he knew that some other kids were trying to break records. And so he was like on top of that, what that kid was trying to accomplish, and he knew what they were trying to accomplish. And he would be on that track for that kid. And as that kid would cross the finish line, he would run right over to the finish line, sometimes holding them up because they think they're going to pass out, or they do pass out sometimes, to give them encouragement, a hug, a pat on the back. And no matter what place they would come in, he was the first one who was there and to just like cheer them on, tell them what a great job they did. Even like off the track, he was always giving them compliments. And as a parent, he would walk up to us. Oh, Elizabeth did amazing. She's so awesome. She's so fast. I can't believe she did this or did that. I mean, just a crazy awesome kid. But what really struck me was he reminded me, and what he was doing painted a picture for me of what I believe God is doing for each of us. So I believe God is in the inner circle and He's screaming our name, believing in us, wanting us to run and be everything He ordained from the beginning of time for us to be. In Philippians 3:14, it says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. The only way we can press forward towards that goal and towards the mark is if we set our eyes on Jesus and we surge forward, not looking back at others or comparing ourselves to others, but running in our lane, our purposes, the what He has ordained for us, and finish exactly how He has purposed for us to do. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before the Lord one day and Him say, you know what? You were so busy looking at others. You were constantly comparing and letting it affect your race. that you didn't finish the race with the purposes I had planned for you. Do you want that said of you when you stand before him? I'm going to leave you with this verse in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. I don't know about you, but when I stand before him, I want him to say, you know what? I was there. I was there in that inner circle, and I was cheering you on, and I watched you throw off everything that hindered you. And you didn't allow comparison to stop you in your tracks. You didn't allow it to affect how you finished this race. So well done, my good and faithful servant. You fixed your eyes on me and you ran. That's what I want him to say. So don't let comparison steal anything from you, from the race that God has ordained for you. Stay in your lane. It's a great lane. It's an amazing lane because it has his purposes in it for you, specifically for you. So, my friend, thanks for listening. I love you. Now go run your race and be the best you that only you can be.